icon Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing. Finally, we're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning finally.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. and whatever else. Hello. Welcome to the Spirit of the Woodstock Nation show. I took it back to that because I'm sort of feeling that way. It's actually about the spirit of us, as like I said, and the fact that we all get it together and we all pulling together and we all starting to play in the same band because we realized that we didn't play in the same band, so we've reunited. The Woodstock Nation, and now college kids are, you know, actually more into the trip, and it seems to get bigger every August. That's really cool. You know, yeah, it's cool being, you know, one of the guys, but, you know, like I always said, if you really understood, you'd just know, like, that these things that whole Woodstock thing just came, for me, it was just like I was a messenger, you know. It's almost like you created the vacuum, and that's why it had to happen. I'm glad that we all did it, and I'm glad we did it, and it was peaceful and helped stop the war and all that stuff. So, anyway, that was Bert Sommer. We're all playing in the same band that I produced. I produced three albums with Bert, and this one actually sold 430,000. Of course, I had already got out of the company and gone, you know, to the Caribbean or something to escape the music business. So anyway, my guest tonight is was sort of amazing. He was on the show, Davin McCoy. I heard one song because people sent me so many things to hear, and I think it might have been Scully, you know, who. And I heard one song, and believe it or not, on that show, if we were going back, you'd actually hear me say, because during the first song we were talking, and I heard what I had heard. I had listened before to another cut that we made the deal to sort of, you know, to whatever way partner our lives together. And I actually said on that show that I'm telling you right now that without any of the bull of the music business Davin McCoy is going to make it. And I said it very boldly, but I really believe it because his music just takes me away. And, you know, and I'm a writer, you know, and I've written hit songs, and he just blew me out. So that's it. See, man, you want to put up Belfry by Davin? By the way, everybody, I just got back from finishing. What you're hearing now was done in the last 4 days with Davin and myself and friends, you know, to complete Davin's first album, fully mixed. So this is Belfry. Hang on to your hats, guys.
I'll be gone, and I'll be gone when I'm gone. When I'm gone, turn me loud, sing my song. Been a bit of darkness, it's always been my friend. I hold it near and it's held me until the very end. And everything I've ever known has come from deep and down below. And I refuse to stop, oh baby, I'ma let it go. So don't you worry, pretty mama, don't you worry, lovely face. I'm coming back around, I'm gonna take you from this place. We might be mad as hatters, but the only thing that matters is we love each other through this life, whatever the hell it is. I'll be gone, I'll be gone, I'll be gone, and I'll be gone. Injustice of my waist has left me broken, broken hearted, baby, begging for your grace. They never had no politics out there. You say I do, discount me out of your election, put me in your record collection. And the only thing I've ever known has come from deep and down below. And I refuse to stop, oh baby, I'ma let it go. And the lions ain't so dandy in this field where I am standing. Take my hand, I'll be your man. We'll live exactly how we planned. I'll be gone, I'll be gone. Said I'll be gone, I'll be gone. And when I'm gone, when I'm gone, turn me loud, sing my songs on and on. Holding a cigarette when the belfry plays my tone. I know it's morning time and making dollars. I'll be dead by noon.
but the record player's time. And know this fed his brain and fed his broken heart and his lonely arm blue. Give me a blindfold and a cigarette when the belfry plays my tune. I'll know it's morning time and making darling. I'll be dead by noon, but the record player's time. And all this hit his brain and bed his broken heart and his lonely arm blues. Said, I'll be gone, I'll be gone, I'll be gone, I'll be gone. When I'm gone, when I'm gone, turn me out, sing my songs. Turn me out, sing my songs. Turn me out, sing my songs. Everything's all right.
Yeah, this is Artie. I have with me Davin McCoy. Hello, Dav.
Hey, man.
Sound like I haven't seen you much lately.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Yeah. You know, I said to everybody, I just came from working on finishing Davin's, finished album. And, tell you the truth, guys, it's so great being involved with Davin, it's I love to watch him play. I'm actually a fan, It's like, I'm glad that at this point in my life that, Davin came in, because it's like he woke up my music instinct again, which is cool. So, Davin,
I'm not gonna sign any more autographs for you, Artie.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. I know you like to, I know you could take pictures of me and sell them every time I see you at a gig.
I always just steal stuff out of your bag and sell them.
Yeah, right. Right, he does. He steals my stuff and sells them as Woodstock memorabilia.
Which, by the way, anybody listening, I've got one of Artie Kornfeld's canes that I'll sell to you to the highest bid. So,
yeah, right.
Left behind this trip.
Yeah, we can get heavy enough and sell you a Jimi Hendrix belt, official belt that he wore.
No, I'm not selling that.
That's not for sale.
You sell that for me, not for money.
Let me ask you something, since I know anyway. It's sort of funny because, I'm part of the band, so it's like, what brought Belfry into your head? Was there anything that set your head off to write that song? We pissed.
Well, there was a few things, we've talked about some of them, but one of them was that, there's certain songs that that get requested in bars. And I think originally when I first sat down and started writing that chorus, it was we had just played a really great festival, and then the next night we had to go to some random city and play a bar. And and people were requesting the same old bar songs, Wagon Wheel and all that. And I wrote that chorus out, I think, that night out of frustration. I'll be gone, more hoping, more talking satirically about maybe one day not having to play, which I actually do enjoy playing anywhere and everywhere, but not having to play, those certain kinds of bars. And that's how I think it originally started. And then obviously, like we've talked about, it developed into... I was thinking about Buckley one night when I wrote the belfry, the part that gets big, the actual walking to the firing squad, that part at the end. I was thinking about Jeff Buckley in Memphis, and I changed it to Macon, thinking about just, so many of the guys that died so young and early, but I think would have probably willingly made that sacrifice to leave the legacies that they did, on the lasting legacies on in music, and the music that they left behind at a young age, still to this day, even though some of it, it was 67 when Otis died, and to this day he's still, I was born in 84, and listening to him when I was younger still made me feel less isolated, in the world. And so I think that's how it kind of all just developed, was kind of a not-to-worry thing.
Man, that's so weird because, I know so much about the song and about you that I never really got that whole meaning out of it. It was interesting to hear. You know, it really was, you know.
So well, I'll make up a different story next time.
Yeah. Yeah, for those who don't know, a belfry is rung when someone's hung or shot or, you know, they ring the belfry. Isn't that true, Davin?
Yeah, it was, you know, that was what the, you know, when the belfry played, you know, they were
There are some people out there that do not know, most of them are in the Tea Party, who know what the belfry is. You know, and that's good because they're going down. They should learn about the belfry.
There's a song where I say I ain't never had no politics. How dare you say I do?
Yeah, right. Just something put me in your record collection. You know.
That's right.
I think you will be putting Davin in your record collection. You know, even if you get what's out now that doesn't have these. I think they're going to be very valuable. They're very valuable to me because I like to hear Davin. So I actually play other artists, but it's very rare if you're producing or managing or really connected to really want to hear, because, you know, it means work to you. But with Davin's music, it's not work, because I'm so into the way he writes and stuff. But really, it's like I'm a fan. So, but it was sure fun doing this together, man. We really have a ball, and, you know.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we just sort of know, you know, who does what and who takes care of what. It just comes together, like, so organically.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
There's a lot of hard work and a lot of years behind that by everybody. So, like I always say to my woman, I say, you know what I say? I say, woman, please.
2, 3. Woman, please.
Woman, won't you understand my mode?
Yeah.
Hell can freeze before I be your fool.
What about it?
If you go, I'll break that boy in two.
Get the band, come on.
Thank you, one, but some we've just begun. Say that love's a game for two, honey, that's me and you. So why you walk around trying to make me jealous with someone new? I can touch you right, keep you up all night. So baby, bring your sexy ass home, let me take you down. Woman, won't you understand my mood? Can't freeze before I be your fool. So I can be your loving man. But this love is more than I can stand. Oh, I know it's lonely, but else in love. No second flow of a tensorial romance. We try to talk and stay, we dance and dance. We love a duet when it's just me and you. You better shut it down. I ain't clowning around, babe. Before I walk outside and feel stick up the radio, hear that bang. Woman, won't you understand my mood? Freeze before I be your fool. Woman, won't you understand my mood? I'll play.
that's how we just be. Yeah, we'll just be gone on.
Woman, please. Dad, woman, please, what?
Yeah, man, you know, it was just, we wrote that and it was just more of a kind of supposed to be, it was supposed to be kind of just satirical about, you know, trying to be tough, you know, I remember there was this, I latched onto this live performance of Bill Withers doing Ain't No Sunshine where he said, he was introducing Ain't No Sunshine, and he said, you know, sometimes, you know, us cats, our woman leaves and you know, they walk out the door and all our boys come over and they say, good, I don't need that jive turkey no more anyway, woman please, you know, and he goes, but then when all the boys leave, you know, you sit in your bedroom at night and you think, you know, the honest thoughts are more about like this, and he started playing Ain't No Sunshine, and I always latched onto that, so I thought, well, what's the song he would have played while his friends were still there, you know, and that's where that song came from. It was just kind of supposed to be kind of lighthearted and fun, you know.
Actually, that was a pretty cool answer, because I actually asked this like a goof question.
Yeah.
You gave a serious answer. Don't get serious on me at this stage of the game.
Yeah, man, I know, right? I've had a couple people that have, you know, after shows, they'll be like, really like that song. And then, you know, and then their wives or their girlfriends will be standing there and they'll be like, yeah, you know, I liked it too. But, you know, it's a little bit, you know, I don't know. There's, you know, it's a little bit macho or something like that, you know. And I always try and explain it's, trust me, I know the order of affairs in this world.
Yeah, you always have one sleazy song hidden somewhere.
That's right.
Just to maintain, you know, that I have a sleaze song somewhere. That's really cool. A friend of Davin's and now became a friend of mine. Tommy, what's his last name? Tommy Totten?
Tommy Totten, yeah.
Tommy Totten.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's like an incredible guitar player, came into play and, just blew me away. And it's hard to do that.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, this.
Tommy is one of the best. That whole circle of Capricorn guys from back in the 70s, you know, Cowboy, which was Tommy Talton and Scott Boyer, and other really great guys in that band, and then like Randall Bramlett with, you know, Chuck Lavelle and C-Level and all them. Those guys are, you know, between Randall and Tommy, you know, and then Jimmy Hall with Wet Willie. Those guys. All on Capricorn, they're all, I mean, some of the best players.
Yeah, and it led to the Allman Brothers, and it led to Marshall Tucker and Lynyrd Skynyrd happening. I mean, it opened the door for that kind of music.
Yeah, well, it led in and came out of it, you know, both on both sides of it. And those are the guys that, you know, that are just, people never fail to underappreciate those people, which always is really frustrating for me and the band and all that and stuff when we say those names and you know, it doesn't, you know, for me, you say the name Tommy Talton and immediately, you know, even though we're buddies, I'm enamored by the guy, you know, and it was nice for you two to get together. It was fun to hear y'all swap stories.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, you get us guys that have more than 3 years in the music and making music, you know, we've known the pain for a long time, you know, you're just in your, you know, fifth year really getting into the pain, but it gets worse. It finally cools out if you last over 40 years, you know, that it sort of cools out, I think. So at least for me, of course, being only 39,
That's impossible for me,
but the next song is interesting. I know what the song's about. What do you think, Dad? We should play the song first, right? Rather than you talk about it, because it's sort of self-explanatory to me.
Which one are we playing next?
Child.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about it first if you want.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, in Davin's living room, I said, Davin, you know, what's this song about? And Davin said, Artie.
Well, you know what the thing about this, actually, let me preface this too, was that when we were recording this, we laid down this really lovely track, and I'm gonna stroke your ego for a sec, Artie. We laid down this really lovely track, and I started trying to sing the vocal, and we just weren't really getting it. We did it maybe two or three times, and it wasn't feeling exactly right. It wasn't, you know, we were all kind of okay with it, if you remember, but then there's just something that we weren't exactly, just wasn't there, that we felt needed to be there. And then you came up and said, what's the song about? And we talked about it. You know, it was just about, you know, I'd had a dream and about that I had kids, and, yeah, woke up really scared, like it was a nightmare or something. And just that I didn't know what in the world I was going to say to them, you know, to try and give them any sort of preparation. And then I remember you already said, all right, we'll talk to your kids and take all the other instruments out of the track except for the guitar. And so when we stripped the track down, you know, it was like we got it the first take, I believe.
I didn't even notice that, you know, I just did what, you know, whatever, you know, my job when I'm in the studio with you is to really keep your direction intact, you know, and just, you know, put a little top on it, because, you know, I wouldn't be involved if I didn't think you were there. And, you know, so it's like, I was watching you do one song, and it was like, I said, this is really cool. I mean, I got Davin McCoy, you know, because to me, you happened, you know, and the rest is all the big game. But, you know, you've heard a couple of things, so you know everything that Davin has goes into what he's doing. And basically, I sort of been the way, sort of the way I am, so. We were late, so child, that affected me. Yes, in fact, a couple of days. Yesterday was the anniversary of my daughter's death, and it was sort of hard. And I listened to Davin's song, and it was so good. I just skipped right over it, you know. And actually, it sort of helped me through. It sort of brought back good memories and stuff. So, you know, it's sort of nice. So the song is called Child. Yeah, Davin McCoy. Am I here?
I got it.
Do you believe when I say I'll do my best? Born on laughter, child, and laid upon love's breast. And if I could teach you how to learn from all the scars I have earned, you never waste a single summer's day. You never waste a single summer's day. So set your sights beyond the storm. Cast the rain drops on your tongue. Carry on, precious child, with a tired soul and a heart that's wild. Embrace your teardrops just the same as all your smiles. With southern strength, stand up and face your trial. Laugh at death if it demands integrity for which you stand. Rest assured your soul will carry on. Rest assured your soul will carry on. So set your sights beyond stone. Cast the rain drops on your tongue. So carry on, precious child. What a hard song, so and heart that's wild. If I could teach you how to learn from all the scars that I have earned,
yeah, child. Really good. Really, there's not much to say. I mean, you heard it, and you could digest it any way you want. You know, I think it's pretty, really good. You know, really, Diamond does put everything he has when, you know, it's almost like when he starts singing, it's like he gets taken over by this, you know, sort of like the thing that shot in to Michael and me, you know, in August of 68, you know, and, it's, I could see that thing, you know, that creative juice fly into Davin when he starts, you know, and really wants to get, tell you, really wants to get the feeling across. And it's really nice to watch it as a music, you know, fan, you know, it's just nice to be a part. The whole recording process, I find I go into a crash dive after working, you know, like a week.
Yeah, okay? I wish I had that long to recover after we do.
Yeah, right.
But you know, I think any musician would tell you that it's would agree with me, or most at least that you know, it's really nice to have that form of expression. You know, I mean, that's a you know, I believe in free choice, and you make your own decisions. You know, and they all, you know, millions of things lead up to each moment, but. It's really nice to have that that form of expression and on whatever level, you know, blessing or whatnot, whatever you believe in, you know, that's a gift to be able to find that kind of form of expression and then be able to actually get to feel like you're sharing it with at least one other person, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, as they say, like I've spoken at big AA meetings, you know. Not that I was ever at AA, because it's anonymous, but I haven't to meetings. And I forgot what I was going to say. I flashed back to when I went to meetings. It's like,
yeah.
Well, I still go once in a while. Yeah. It's good to have It's good to have company.
I think all alcoholics should be anonymous.
Yeah, right. Well, I never really was into alcohol, so I really don't know.
Your AA was assholes anonymous, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, mine was. I don't want to say the word CA. You know, in fact, I was one of the founding group of founders of CA. You know, in LA, and now there's Cocaine Anonymous. You know, I'm off 28 years. You know, not that I beat it. It beat me until I finally had to say, God, whatever you are, if you exist, help me. And I just woke up clean. And that's a miracle to me. That's as much a miracle as like the festival was.
You know, yeah, sure.
It was, you know, well, people spend years trying to, you know, take something.
Rather than knockout.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of life. We all had to face it. We really came from a generation that really wanted to know more, you know, wanted to get inside stuff. And, you know, I never did quite understand the acid head or the trip myself. You know, my experience actually with organic Indian mescaline, you know, three times were actually incredible experiences. You know, I'm not saying that I think drugs are good, but I'm just saying it certainly took me as close to heaven as I could be.
Well, David, you know, David Causey always said something to me that was really cool that I always agreed with 100% in terms of, you know, I don't really do any drugs, period. But hallucinogens, organic ones, I've never had an issue with, and I still don't to this day. But I don't see why they're illegal or anything like that. But Davis Causey always said, you know, hallucinogens, mushrooms, that kind of stuff, it's a great thing as long as you respect it, you know. And I always found some truth in that. You know, I think that you can have, you know, spiritual experiences on things like mushrooms like that. But you do have to respect it. You know, you have to respect that you're giving up control there for a little bit, and you have to relinquish and be willing to learn. You know, it's. The first time he said that, you know, my reactionary thought was just kind of like college. You know, you can get something out of it if you're willing to, but a lot of people don't, you know.
Yeah, you know, what people should know out there is right now, and I'm talking about elementary school and junior high, that there's probably the biggest cocaine epidemic ever, you know. So, you know, in case you have kids, you know. I mean, actually, my daughter died of an overdose the first time she tried, you know. So, I was gonna say it's okay. No, it's not okay. It sucks, but it's good because I had 16 wonderful, incredible years. There is an epidemic of cocaine because it's so cheap, and it's like cheaper than crack. So it's like dangerous, and it's coming from Mexico and. I guess right now we don't talk about it, but it is our kids at stake, you know. And just like I always felt for some reason, because I was involved with Tim Leary, and not that I did acid like that, but maybe I was involved, and it is serious, and you should just, you know, check it out with your kids, and maybe even check it out yourself. By the way, you got an extra line for me.
I think kids just need to be talked to, and there needs to be some sort of open door policy. You know, just listen. When your kids get to be teenagers, it's almost been a decade since I was a teenager, but I'm real observant about it all, and I certainly remember. I feel like I was 18 about yesterday, and. I think it's all about just listening, you know, just listen to your kids when they get to be about that age, because I can assure you that they're not going to fucking listen to you.
Yeah, right. So, they're probably feeling the same way. I don't know about your generation, Dad, because I'm 3 ahead of you, but it seems like there were different issues. They were so much simpler when I was that age, and now there's so much more going on to some 14-year-old or 15-year-old, and there's so much more exposure to everything. You know, I mean, kids weren't able to go around the world, and, you know, not able to zoom in on sex videos and stuff. And
so open now, the access is. And then, of course, you have MTV just completely destroying, and you have these role models that are just selfish, entitled, you know. I'll use a nice word and say selfish, entitled young women, you know, that have been role models now for a few years, that are, you know, doesn't, I remember watching, you remember that show, Artie? Did you ever watch that show? What was it called? It was Paris Hilton
Is that, was it called Oh Shoot?
Yeah, I think it was called Oh Shoot. Yeah. No, it was, it was Lionel Richie's daughter and Paris Hilton, and they went around and just treated hardworking Americans like absolute dog shit, and that was the show, and people loved it. And it made no sense to me. Like, wait a second, why are these women? You know, oh man, that's a whole nother Artie Cornfield show.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, Gavin McCoy, music, Spirit of the Woodstock Nation still goes on. Everybody should still hold a light because I did say, you know, not that I know everything in the future, but I did say when the midterms happen, I did say, you know, this is going to help Obama. Not that he's going to do anything spectacular, but it's going to, like, really mess up the Republican Party, you know. So it's like, it's sort of like I was pretty right on. I said that on the air, too. I said, everybody was moaning and groaning. And I said, well, hey, you know, at least people are going to have to stand up and say who they are and what they stand for now, you know. So it was, you know, it was worth it that Obama couldn't get some more stuff through, you know, right now. You know, just, and don't forget, what you have is a computer, and I don't have it tonight, the way you go on the computer, but remember, every bill, you have the right, you know, to send an email if your guy's not representing you right and say, hey, if you don't vote the way your people in your areas feel, we're not going to elect you again, period. You know, and they're going to react to that because, you know, that's grassroots stuff, you know. And
it's true. So, look at the bills. Look at the bills, not the people. Look at the bills.
Yeah.
We're inviting you not to a Republican Party, not to a Democratic Party, just to a humanist party. Just look at the bills and the issues and decide on those, right?
Right, right. So, anyway, something really tender. You know, just something I'll just introduce Gavin McCoy, Coming Attractions, doing a song. Or a poem, or whatever you want to put it, called just the name.
Well, you can fall away, but don't fall apart. I'm seeking redemption for breaking your heart and all of the crimes against humanity, like love and pain for my personal gain. I know that the bodies I've buried are dead, memorials are notches I have carved into my belt and bed. But love, it's just a name, and perhaps just a foolish claim. If it's my blood that you need, well, darling, here I am. Have your friends in fear. Love, it's just a name, just a foolish claim. I look to the hills and I think of the pills that swallow me whole. My darkness, it's real. The morning light comes, I can see it on your face. And it's okay to cry, yeah, I know it's goodbye. But girl, in your heart, you know it's a lie. So let's not fight, because I could use some sleep tonight. And love, it's just a name, and perhaps just a foolish claim. If it's my blood that you need, well, darling, here I am. Have your friends in fear. Love, it's just a name, just a foolish claim. I've abandoned my quest and my search for truth. God gave me a rod, it's that I'll use to navigate this darkness until I finally find the light. And on Judgment Day, I'll hold my head high. I'll stake my flag in the bed that I've made and turn in my rod when I'm safe and sound and back at home.
home, love. It's just a name, and perhaps just a foolish claim. If it's my blood that you need, well, darling, here I am. Have your friends in fear, love. It's just a name. It's just a foolish claim.
That's beautiful, man. Every time I hear that song, I get tears, you know, for some reason. It sort of affects me that way.
That's Brian Gibson, by the way, on the cello. For
yeah, right. Yeah.
He also engineered it over at with Oliver Roberts, and we had some good help with all this stuff, huh?
Yeah, no, there was a good center of musicians, you know, in that area. And you know, and Davin's been playing around so long, you know, everybody's played with everybody, it seems, as I grew up. It seems a lot of kids turned into musicians where you lived, Dav. So you almost grew up with everybody who plays on your record.
Well, kind of, in a sense. I mean, in different ways that you can depends on how you mean grew up, but
nobody's really grown up, huh?
For sure, musically, for sure, we're constantly growing together, right? But Oliver, which is right around the corner from where I went to high school, I never knew him until like a year ago, maybe, and I didn't even know him, and he was right around the corner from me the whole time, and then we met, you know, kind of serendipitously, and that's where I generally go over to write and record, you know, demo and all that and stuff. So it was actually fun to get in there and kind of really record some songs kind of in the vein in which we like to play songs. And that's what I like about these four that are almost finished, that everybody's just heard. There's a few changes to make, but that's what I like about them is that I think that they represent more of how we like to play on a regular basis rather than going to, a lot of times, you know, with everything we recorded, you go into the studio and you change the way you sound or play around, you know, and you don't just do exactly what it is that you would normally just do. And so that's what I love about these, is that they sound exactly, I think, how we kind of just sound.
Oh, yeah.
When we play live.
It's really, yeah, this came together very, very organically. And, you know, if anybody's interested, you know, there's one cut, it was just, was really late, 3 a.m. or so, and, Davin was going to do it with Bleed. He took his shirt off. It was black in the basement studio, and real bright, dark, and this light was shining sort of on Davin, sort of off. It was pretty eerie, and we did a vocal, and it was to a click track, which keeps the time for everybody in case you put other instruments and just Davin singing. And it was so surrealistic just seeing you up there. You know, it was just strange. It fit you though. Because you're so strange yourself.
Yeah, you know? It was nice seeing somebody so fit, you know, just singing up there with their shirt off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, turn me on, right? Turn me on. I never knew it. I'm a Dab McCoy freak, you know, all the way, huh? Anyway, with that, on that high level of intellectual interchange, I would like to say that I'm so happy that you are keeping the spirit, you know, because, no kidding, you know what, we are starting to win. I think we'll win because good's supposed to win. I mean, that's what Matt Dillon said in Gunsmoke, and I still believe it. And by the way, my favorite TV show, Justified, okay, ready for that? That's pretty flowers in her hair. Kind of.
Speaking of guys that look good with their shirts off, yeah.
Yeah, right. The Oliphant, you know. I hate the fucker. Oh, pardon me. Said the word. You know, good looking guy. Him and Mr. Quarterback Brady. They get all the chicks, man. Oh. But I'm happy. I'm happy with Caroline. I'm so happy with Caroline all the way. Anyway, you know. But they're good-looking guys. They were blessed.
Yeah, they won the genealogy lottery.
Well, if they don't want to spend their nights alone, those guys are sort of covered, you know. Not that I'm a virgin myself, but I was thinking of doing it when I turned 70. I've been holding out to 70, you know, for sex.
I think that I saw like an email for you that was from the geriatrics calendar, you know, best bodies over 70 or something like that. So.
No, it was from ARP. You know, I had to buy their health insurance to go with Medicare and Medicaid.
Free AARP calendar.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's really funny, you know, because where I live is really beautiful, and it's in Florida near Palm Beach. And part of this area, not where I live exactly, there's an older population of people that retired and came down, and it's all the commercials are for, like, Roxadent to hold your teeth on. And it's so depressing, and I'm glad I live in a place
instead
where
of the eye candy on all those commercials, you know, what's great about those commercials down there with you is the eye candy isn't good-looking guys, you know, with shirts off or their tight shirts. It's like just early bird special menus.
Oh, no, just go to an NA meeting. Go to a Narcotics Anonymous in this meeting if you want to see some, you know, high-looking chicks. And they're there, you know. Not that I ever went for that reason, you know. You know, you go to help the newcomer.
Yeah, just come out and see Dev McCoy and the Coming Attractions at any show, and if nothing else, we'll be the best-looking band there.
Yeah, and they probably drive the most miles a week of any band in the history of the whole music industry. Because they actually, I mean, I can't believe the schedule, because Track and Dabbing Down, when they're going through mountains, and they're all over the place. And they're doing 4 gigs a week, and, you know, they could be 1,000 miles apart, you know, and that's called, people call and say, what are you doing? I said, you got to find someone like me that's powerful in the industry. And you have to work, and you have to work like crazy, you know, and get out to the people. And, you know, and I really respect that in, you know, the Coming Attractions in Davin. So with that, I want to thank you, Mr. McCoy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kornfeld.
Yeah, just get the stuff now while it's collectible. You know, get it with it on CD Baby or where else are you going?
Yeah, go to danmccoy.com. That's how we can put the most food on our table. If you get the records from there, from danmccoy.com. But and then we're going to try and release these 4 songs plus another probably 5 to 6 with them. At the beginning of the new year. So,
as your advisor, I assume you're giving away too much information.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm bad about that.
Too much information. No, it's cool. No, I'm really glad to hear that. New Year's, huh? Were you going to do New Year's?
Yeah, we're going to try and do it about right around the first of the year, and we'll have at least 7 songs ready for pre-release on the 22nd of December. At our Christmas party, Toys for Tots Christmas party, which is in Marietta, Georgia, at the Georgia Rib Company, that has a great big huge live room. And so y'all, if you're anywhere in the area, come out and see the band, and we'll have a DJ too, and bring a toy. And if you bring a toy, then you get a raffle ticket, and if you get a raffle ticket, you get a chance to win lots of cool stuff that. We'll have some Artie Kornfeld memorabilia, and some guitars signed, and all sorts of stuff donated from the community. So please come out and check it out, and be a part of that. Tickets are real cheap. Just go to davinmccoy.com to get the information.
Yeah, that's a real cool trip. So with all that, as the show started, you know, because times are tough, and, you know, everybody feels it, you know, and... like I, you know, started 2 years ago when playing Burt Summers' Hold the Light, and I got for you, that's all he played, so, and we haven't played in a while. So for you guys having trouble out there, you're not alone, and to all the troops out there, you know, you're not alone, by the way, because I did Hoo-Hoo Radio 3 times for the Marines, and then went to every base, and I got a lot of calls from Afghanistan. people who think the way we do, but they're doing what they were called to do for their country, and they believe you know that they have to do that, and they're really honorable. You know, when I talk to these people in especially Afghanistan, in the hot areas, they call into the show from all over the place. You know, Germany. So it's crazy. So talk about crazy. That was Davin McCoy, and this is Artie Kornfeld saying thanks for sharing the spirit tonight and hold the light.
What I want, thanks, man, to do,
I can try to enlighten.